Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Valentina on How I Met Your Father, aka Hilary Duff's One True Love. Like, it should be How I Met Your Father's Homegirl, maybe, or like, or no, How I Met Your Friend. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this, but the point is that Valentina and Lizzie McGuire's chemistry on How I Met Your Father is really, really good. And also, Something that they said at the beginning of this season tells me that something's going to happen. So I'm just waiting for it.
Okay, archive of our own. Okay, come on. Write this. I'd read it, Maitha. If you write it, I would, like, put it everywhere for everyone to read.
Oh, my God. What up, Corona?
What's poppin', Chingona? It's been a while.
I know. And, like, the episode we're doing today was meant to be done, like, a month ago. But oh, God.
Yeah.
Shit happened.
Like, shit happens. Real life happens. So we're dealing with real life now. But it's all good. What have you been watching since, like, I don't know, we've been gone for... I honestly have not kept track of time. I don't know when's the last time.
It's been a minute. Like, you know how... I was just talking to somebody about this yesterday, like, how January took 500 years to end, and February's already gone, which is wild. God.
Yeah, like, I can't believe... Time is moving really fast this month, and I think it's... what is... Star-wise, I don't know what's happening. I think the moon's in Pisces or some shit. I have no idea.
Oh, I could not know less, but... My favorite, which I'm sure we talked about it, like, towards the beginning of when we started this podcast, but Gabrielle Union is playing a queer character on Truth Be Told this season.
What?
And I got through the first two seasons of that show, which were not great, just so I could get to this third one and see what I needed to see, you know what I mean?
See what little baby Maitha needed to see.
Yeah, basically.
I will be only watching those episodes.
I think that's fine, because the way that the seasons are set up on that show, you'll be fine.
Okay, good. Because and what network is this on?
It's on Apple TV.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to go to my mom's to watch that. That's going to be awkward. Hi, Mom.
Just grab that login.
Be like, I'll see you later. I'm going to go to the room.
And then gap the series, right? Because, you know, what gay person is not watching that right now?
Me?
You have issues. It's officially done.
I know.
But the most beautiful 12 episodes of web series created known to man.
In my defense, had real life happenings. Yeah. So, like, I've been so scatterbrained.
I also, like honestly, don't watch it until you have time for it to consume you, because that's what's going to happen.
I know you and everyone on the, like, everyone that I follow on my Burner Twice account, like, that's how I heard about it, because every one of them is, like, from Southeast Asia, so they're all, like, Philippines and, like,
right,
Indonesia, and like, all of them were talking about it constantly, because there's, like, a Venn diagram of, like, Twice stans and, like, Gap fans. They're the same people. The same gays, you know? And, like, I'm super excited to watch it, and it's on YouTube, right?
Yeah, for freezies on YouTube. They're like 40 to 50 minute episodes. Like, well, they're split up into parts, but like, full length episodes, incredible quality. And, like, these girlies, they act like they want to attract women, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, they're definitely giving gay face, and I love it. I mean, I've seen many clips on Twitter, so I'm sure. I know what I'm missing, and I'm just kind of like, oh man, like, I barely have been keeping up with anything, so I'm just, you know, sadly, I finished rewatching Mad Men.
Random, yeah.
I needed something in the background that wouldn't, like, consume me, you know, like, something that I could just put on while I, like, did something else, and so I could completely tune out of, like, real life and not have to think about, you know, life. So I just needed something completely different from my reality. And so
does it hold up?
It does, because Don Draper is surprisingly a trash human, but I actually, he read some really cool stuff. Like, I actually started reading some of the things he was reading. I'm sure it didn't affect his character at all, not Don Draper, but shout out to Frank O'Hara's Meditations in an Emergency. It's a beautiful poem about a queer man breaking up with his boyfriend. So I thought that was such an interesting thing for Don Draper to be reading in Mad Men. And it's very gay, and I recommend anyone to go read it right now. It's chef's kiss, the gayest, most beautiful, heartbreaking thing I've read. So I love it.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, it led me down this like literary 1950s literary hole. Yeah, so shout out. But dude, have you watched Harlem since it's come on? I have. Tell me
why this is the exact question I was gonna ask you. Yeah, I've been watching it. Yeah, I have. I'm so happy that it's back. It's weird to watch it one episode at a time like this, but
that's true.
I'm so happy that it's back. Did you see that they replaced the actress that played that one girl? Being so vague right now.
Which girl?
The love interest for the bisexual character.
They replaced her? Like, what?
I'm pretty sure that wasn't her. I'm like, yeah, because, like, you know, they had somebody season one, and then the one episode she was in, I think it's a different actress. I'm like 90% sure.
Oh my goodness.
I was upset. I liked the other ones.
Oh my god, I didn't notice. I really want to see it. I haven't caught up. I've only watched the first two episodes. I really want to catch up on the rest of it, because I know that there's like a Pride episode that's hilarious about one of the characters running, and then, you know, literally everyone else starts running.
When I saw that happening, I was like, what is this? And then apparently it's just a New York phenomenon.
No, it's not like a New York phenomenon. Like, from my understanding, like, same. Like, it's just like, from my understanding, when one black person sees another black person running, they all run because they're like, I'm not going to question that. I'm going to do it too.
Oh,
it's like okay. A trust thing. It's like, oh, like the difference between like culturally like white people and everyone else is that like there's like an inherent trust. Like you see a black person running, you're like, I'm dipping out too. And I had one of those situations happen when one of my friends started running. I started running too. And they're like, and then we're like running and I'm like, what's happening? Like after we've already started running, you know, like they took off. I didn't ask any questions. I was just like, oh shit, what's happening? And I took off. And then eventually while we're running, I'm like, why are we running? But like, I just took off. That's the cultural thing, is that like you see one person. Yeah. And then when you see the clip, you notice that like it's no white people or no Latinos or like, you know, everyone's just running with her. Yeah. Is also a black person. So
yeah, that was great. That was a great scene. It made me laugh a lot.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No. You've also been trying, you and like half of the rest of the world has been trying to convince me to watch The Last of Us, which I have not adhered to yet.
Did you ever watch? I never watched Walking Dead though. Like, did you?
I watched the first like maybe two seasons.
Okay. Well, I think you'd really like it. Like, I mean, it has better watching for a reason.
I have 100 reasons to watch it, and I will. I'm not a zombie guy.
I'm not either. Like, I totally get it. Like, zombies actually freak me out. And then the very first episode is going to like the first episode and the second episode, those intros really blow your mind, because it's based on a real like fungus that exists in the world that really could happen, and you know, everything they're saying is actually factual and that in the episodes, so that's spooky. Fun and horrifying.
Yeah, I'll watch.
Please watch. And then when you're done, watch episode 3, which is the not when you're done, but episode 3 has Nick Offerman, and shout out to
yeah, and the guy from White
Lotus. Not just
Nick Offerman
though, like we covered another character, Murray Bartlett. He was also in White Lotus, and he was in a bunch of other queer shows with one of our other faves. Oh, I can't remember that show right now, but we spent a whole episode on it. But anyways, I'm never gonna see Strawberries the same ever again. Please go watch it. It's beautiful and lovely, and I actually want a strawberry right now just thinking about it. Like, love is real. It was so beautiful. All right. It was so beautiful, dude. Speaking of like well, okay, not speaking of anything beautiful, but just like, I've been watching K-dramas, but on top of that, there's this new show called Physical 100 on Netflix.
I've heard about it. I don't know why it hasn't caught my attention. Yeah, it's like, who's the strongest fucking person or whatever.
The only thing that made me watch that show is I saw a clip on TikTok. Shout out to the fucking ads on TikTok basically working on me. Propaganda works on me only if it involves buff women that are like hot and strong. So like there's like buff, it's like a Korean reality Squid Games for buff people. That's what it is. It's like, mm-hmm. and it's always kind of, it's surprising because it's not always the buff men. In fact, the buff men are like the dumbest ones. And it's always like the guys that use their muscles in real life, like cyclists and mountain climbers. And like the women are shockingly like, you know, they're not shockingly, but like, it's kind of very Mexican in the way they treat the women. Like they can't do anything, but they're actually like super smart, super strong, super organized. And they were the reason I watched it. So like the women, I was just like, no, wow, chef's kiss, like goals, but also, wow, I'm in love. Like, you gotta watch it. Like, you don't have to. It's dumb, no, but it's not.
You convinced me. Nobody else has told me to watch it, and I'm a big reality TV person. I've been watching that shitty ass show, Perfect Match.
Oh, with Barstool, or the famous Barstool.
I haven't. From Dallas. He hasn't been in it yet, as far as I've seen. But I'm not looking forward to it. I hate him with a passion. So,
I think that show is like the same one that I watched, but it was a Spanish version of that show. Do the couples go in and then like tempt each other? Is that the whole point?
No, I think that one's like Too Hot to Handle or some shit.
A different one then. Like, yeah. where they actually had queer people. This one doesn't have anyone gay, so
Have one. Francesca, she's queer, and now like in current times is dating a trans man. They're very like popular. Oh. TikTok couple.
Okay, shout out to her. Okay,
I think she's cool. She's kind of the villain of the series, but it was filmed like a year ago, so it's like not very up to date.
Yeah, like people grow and change, and good for her. Better taste, like not dating people on reality TV series, but
right.
But yeah, that's cute. Okay, I mean, I think Physical 100 is a lot better because you learn, like, there's random things in there that you learn about, like.
But
how to hold your weight and stuff and fitness, and not just like, not that that matters, it's just like when it's coming like a hot woman who's like a wrestler, you're gonna listen, you're like, wow, I'm so interested.
Okay, tati. Yeah, no, I get it. But yeah, other than that, I can't think of anything else that I've watched. I've really just been looking forward to the new season of NWSL soccer starting very soon, and it's gonna take over my life, so that's just
I'm excited for you. Yeah. That's coming up. What, like there was already a game, the Japan game on HBO Max, right?
I was just watching that. That's the international games. But yeah, Japan won today 3-0, and damn, my favorite player from Angel City scored. And she earned the penalty for the one of the other goals. Like, she had an incredible game. I've been saying since the beginning of the She Believes tournament that she needs to start the games. And they finally started her today. And what do? Win. 3-0 against Canada, who's a good team usually. But I know they're going through a lot of stuff. So.
Oh, shit.
3-0? 3-0. They won against one of the best teams, like the team that won the Olympics recently. So.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, go off. Like, that's the only one I've heard about. So you're talking about more like...
I'm talking about NWSL. It's like the U.S.
States. The States.
Yeah, the
okay,
U.S.
Gotcha.
So Angel City is my team, obviously, and all of the local U.S. teams.
I'm excited about this. I love this. You should have, like, your own little, like, 5-minute spot where we just talk. I mean, you kind of already do, but like, we should do that. Like, we should officially put that in, call it something, and then I'll cover basketball because I love basketball. I love women's basketball.
The sports section. Interesting.
Why not? Who cares? Concept. Like,
it's been pitched to me pretty recently too, because I was like thinking about how I kind of want to have just like a soccer podcast, period. And met somebody that has one already over the weekend, because I'm like trying to get initiated into a soccer gang. We'll talk about that later. But shout out to the Poderosas.
Fuck yeah. Okay.
But we should get into started with our episode, because this has been a long intro.
It has. It's just been a while for us.
Yeah.
So today's episode is going to be fun. We're taking it back to high school. Like...
the golden age.
Ooh, yeah, for some people, not
for some
not
people,
traumatic experience for me, but as I think most people, I think high school is pretty traumatic for anyone involved.
Very learning period.
The learning curve is wild, y'all. But yeah, I'm gonna be covering Heartbreak High, which is actually a remake, so that's gonna be interesting. What about you?
I'm covering High School. So okay. You guys can see a common theme here.
Yes.
Two very different shows, two very common themes. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. We're exploring the traumatic times of high school, present day, and in
adolescence, etc. Yeah.
Oh, God. But yeah, which one came out first?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Let me see. High School by Tegan and Sarah, by the way.
Oh, yeah. By the greats. Based on a book. A good
on
book.
Their book, yeah. And they have the audacity to be like, oh, it's not fully based on us. Girly, I think it is.
I think it is based on them, actually. Yeah, like from what Glow, our producer, yeah. has told me. She's read it and she's encouraged me other than you to watch it, so... She says it's pretty much the same. It's just like
so
half
mine
book.
Came out in like September mm-hmm. of 2022.
Mine came out in August.
Okay, so let's talk about Heartbreak High.
Okay, cool. Yeah, let's do it. Okay, so Heartbreak High is a Netflix. It's on Netflix. It is a remake of an Australian series from 1981. Imagine 90210, but like Australian and diverse, and happening now. So
with actors that look like they could be in high school.
Yeah, with actual actors that look like they could be in high school. They look pretty young, but I mean youngish. Like they look like they could be in college, which I'll take it. And it's based on a fictional high school, Hartley High in Australia. It's an ensemble cast, and it stars Aisha Madden as Emery, and I'm saying these characters because they matter, because they're diverse, and I love to see them on screen. We have James Majus, who's Darren Rivers. They are non-binary, and their character's non-binary, and I love that, I eat that up. Chloe Hayden is Quinny Gallagher-Jones, and then Asher Yasminek is Harper, the famous Harper. So apparently what happens in this series, a sex map is uncovered and made public. It was a secret sex map that was on school property. and Amory, who is I believe Southeast Asian character, and her bestie, a white girl, Harper, I believe, they kind of get this map discovered, and Amory gets blamed even though she made it with Harper. And then they make this kind of like sex ed after school class where everyone that's listed on this sex map has to take this class together and learn about respecting each other and learning about sexual education, because apparently the kids, even in Australia, don't get the correct kind of sex education. So, you know, there is a lot of like overlap with the actual show Sex Education, because a lot of it's based in the same thing. But I would say that this is kind of like the more Australian, way more queer version of sex education. Sex education, not very straight, but I kind of enjoyed Heartbreak High a lot more.
Mike, interesting.
Did you? I know you. Tell us how you feel. I really liked Heartbreak
High.
I'm
a sex education stan. I won't lie. Like, okay. That show, I think, is really brilliant. And, yeah, so I don't think it stands up to that, but Heartbreak High definitely got a lot of people's attention, a lot more people's attention than I expected, so shout out to you guys.
Yeah, I mean, like, I liked it because, I don't know, we always hear about UK stories. We don't always hear about UK stories.
We hear a lot about them, for
but
sure,
we hear
yeah.
a lot, you know, and I feel like I know less about Australia, and I know less about anything that's possibly happening there. All I know is they have koalas, giant spiders, and they have this huge indigenous population that I know gets treated poorly. And I will get to that, because they actually try to kind of cover that a little bit. I will say that Heartbreak High is doing a lot with a lot of this ensemble cast, but I do think it's interesting that they're at least attempting to do a lot, whereas... And they're not that bad at it, you know, whereas, like, I could say another show, like the L Word, Generation Q, is trying to do the most and yet kind of failing at doing that. Like, there becomes a point where, like, the more general you try to be, the more you lose a crowd. Whereas I feel like Heartbreak High kind of, like, zones in and is pretty hyper-specific to these characters, maybe not giving enough attention to each character that we would like, like Darren Rivers' character, the non-binary character, who even in the show is non-binary, and it's very clear to us and that this character is kind of like already over, has already came out, they're already over that hump. We're not doing like a coming out story for this character. This character, very important to the whole story for me, one of my favorite characters, they're already out and they're just like trying to find love, and they're navigating love and sex in high school, which I didn't think kids were doing that, but that's not, again, I don't know what the kids are doing, I'm old, but I just hope, you know, like everyone else, they're being safe. This character, Darren, befriends Amory, and they're also friends with Quinny's character, I believe. It's Chloe, my bad. And we gotta kind of see these three different characters, one straight, both queer, two queer characters, navigate high school and sex and love. And I'm not gonna go straight to Amory, even though she is kind of the lead. I do want to talk more about Chloe, because she is like a queer character who dates another girl on screen named Sasha, but Chloe's also a character with autism, and she's dating someone who isn't neurodivergent, and they kind of show that aspect of what it is to date someone who maybe doesn't understand what it means to be on the spectrum, and I find that to be really interesting and just a fun, interesting, different thing to see, because like diversity, like let's see everything. I love that. And the show was surprisingly heartfelt and dealt with their relationship in a like pretty sensitive way, I feel. Like a very realistic way of like how kids are kind of like having to navigate being queer and being autistic and being in high school and being in love and then breaking up. I think that's really interesting. Just like Darren's relationship with another character who happens to be asexual, I believe, and them having to navigate asexuality in high school. I think that's really tough, and I think that's a really interesting thing we should be watching and seeing, that I feel like not a lot of things are trying to like pack in autism. They're not trying to pack in non-binary characters and asexual characters. And like later in the series we uncover some like essay, if that's like a trigger for y'all, definitely try to stay away from the later episodes. Essay, drug use, kids doing like irresponsible shit and like sexism. Like it's such an interesting show, and I think it's handling these different heavy topics pretty well, and I think it's balancing it pretty well, but that's my opinion. I know, Mytha, you you don't feel like it's balancing it that well, or what is it on your end?
I think they did well. Like it's a tough thing to juggle a lot of things like that and do it smoothly, and not over it. Like it's a very tough ask, which is why, like, you know, shows like Sex Education, they kind of take it a lot slower and they do like a couple things a season instead of like everything in one season. Which is not to say that that's the right way to go about it, it's just what worked for them. And I think Heartbreak High, I think the real issue that I have with it, but the real reason that I think I don't rate it super highly, is because it hasn't stuck with me. And even right now, hearing you explain it, I haven't seen this show in like ages and months. And I'm like trying to remember the people, the characters, the storylines. Like you said, the main character, like even though she's the main character, I remember her story the least, you know?
Yeah, she was cool, but like not really interested in Amory's anything. Like she's cool and I like her story with her best friend, but not really a concern. Yeah.
But I'm glad that it's getting season two, right? Am I right?
Yes, it got renewed for season two. And I'm hoping they kind of like work on a lot of things they rolled out. Because again, like you said, I agree with that they rolled out a bunch, and maybe it didn't stick with everyone, but they are trying to do a lot. But I really want them to explore that better in season two. I don't know if you remember the indigenous violence that they showed. I thought that was I don't know anything about the indigenous racial aspects in Australia, and I believe they were calling each other black, and I thought that was kind of weird, like
right, but I was for an like, American, a lot of Americans were complaining at the time when the show first came out. They're like, what are they talking about? Because they don't understand like that in Australia that's how they were referred to, you know, like the indigenous populations. It's kind of like the same as like here in America, where like these words that like they now use today were like invented by oppressors before. Like, I think that's how they were oppressed back then. I mean, this is like me just gathering like side context. I didn't look into it a whole lot because I'm not covering the episode, but yeah, that's, they had a lot of flack about it and had to basically have people explaining to Americans for the most part, like, maybe do some research on like the like racial aspects here in like Australia. And it's different. Like, even just being dark skinned over there is like a whole different thing, right? Because this is a country with like a lot of white people. So,
yeah. No, I mean, I understand that. I just didn't understand the language they were using when they called each other black. I knew why they did it because, you know, the indigenous population in Australia is like hella oppressed. Malachi's character represents a whole lot there. And I want them to explore that and kind of like really go there and really explore what it means to be indigenous in Australia, because I feel like that's the one thing they didn't really touch on, and I find that to be maybe the most interesting aspect. And that's kind of what I felt was like, okay, you're doing a lot here and you're not really explaining or exploring this character's like arc to me. It's not complete. It's like at the beginning,
it did brush,
you know,
over.
Yeah, they brushed over the police violence and him being indigenous. They had other indigenous characters in the series, but like again, they were kind of like in the background. And I'm not complaining too much, just because again, the show was doing the most and it was presenting one idea, and I feel like that idea and that storyline with Malachi's character, who is the love interest of the main character Amory, they kind of just started it off, and I feel like it's little breadcrumbs for season two where they're really going to maybe hopefully explore that, because I find that to be the most interesting, other than, you know, the queer characters, obviously. But if you're going to give me a straight person, I want you to, you know, let's get, you know, reservation dogs deep in this shit. Like, I want to know what's going on over there. So I thought that was interesting, but I felt like that was a little bit overdone and kind of like done too quickly. But again, the show, it still is able to have like really good conversations, you know, with queer diversity. And like, honestly, to have a non-binary character be in love with an asexual character, I was like, okay, I'll take it, but like I still want more diversity, but it's giving me the most it possibly could, and it's filling it all into one season. But you know, obviously nothing's perfect. It's pretty damn close for me because it's giving me what I asked for, which is like diversity. Like, give me queer characters, give me like written, full fleshed out reasonings and arcs behind these characters, and so far it's been like pretty decent on that end. So I loved it. I can't wait for season two. I can't wait what they do with Malachi's character. I can't wait what they do with Chloe and Sasha's character, Darren's character. Like, I love all of these. I feel like for me that's what it did well, is that like I really felt like I was rooting for these kind of like goofy like kids, you know, like they're kind of fucking up, but I don't mind, and they're still very endearing as characters. And the straight boys showed their ass as they usually do, so I thought that was like correct. And I feel like the jokes landed for me. I honestly think I like it more than Sex Education. Hot take.
Yeah, I mean, like it just kind of depends, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I also like should probably rewatch it at some point. Like, I will be tuning into season two. I'll tell you that much. Like, I'll be there. So shout out to them. I do remember like being attentive to it. I remember like being into it and finishing it pretty quickly. It's a pretty quick binge. So like, you know, if you have Netflix, like you can just kind of throw it on. They're like, what, 30 minute episodes, right?
I believe so. There's only 9 episodes in the first one, the 30 minutes. It's not like a crazy binge or anything. You can,
it's not a big commitment. Yeah.
No, it's like super chill, and then you'll notice characters from the headmaster, the principal, is Rachel House. She was also in Hunt for the Wilder People. It's a Taika Waititi movie. I don't even know if I said that right. I'm so sorry. But she's the headmaster, and she's like a dog, and I don't know. I just found everybody very endearing. I liked everybody, and shout out to Australia for having like super I don't know, I'm getting all of my information about Australia from like, I know that y'all don't have guns, I know y'all have crazy animals, and now I think y'all have very liberal like school standards, because I mean, I live in fucking Texas. Like, they're not even teaching actual history anymore. Or ever, by the way. It's always been propaganda. But, like, I think it's interesting that they seem to teach sexual education in Australia. And they care that much about it. That's interesting.
Yeah, I've been curious. I mean, it's not Australia, but I've been, like, learning a lot about New Zealand lately. And, you know, they have similar backgrounds in that they also have big Indigenous communities and, like, that kind of shared history. And they're big into restorative justice. Like, that's a big thing over there. Yeah. So I look forward to going and exploring, seeing what's to see.
Yeah, that's fun. Kiwis.
The Kiwis.
Get a Kiwi.
Maybe I'll rewatch Heartbreak High because it's close enough to New Zealand.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're close enough, or Hunt for the Wilder People. I think you're, like, sort of in that lane, you know? So, let me rate this. My bad. I would actually, I'm going to, like, make a new rating, and I'm going to put, like, a 4.7 pan dulces. I really liked it. It's not perfect, but I'm really excited for season 2. And I thought it was really good. I don't know. I liked it. It was cute.
Hey, if it hits, it hits. You know? If it hits, it hits. I'd probably give it just a pan dulce because... Not a pan dulce. A cafecito. Because, It didn't stay with me. And I love things that stay with me. And I like thinking about it and referencing it for the rest of my fucking life.
Who doesn't?
But I think it has so much potential. They put so much into season 1 that you could go anywhere for season 2, and I think they have a long way to rise. So it's not like they have this season 1 where, like, oh, nothing's ever going to match it. Like, you could match that. You could do better than that.
It could be better. It's just, like, it's a great start. I like it.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Shout out. For sure.
I'm excited about what you're going to talk about because, you know, as a gay who's seen them 4 times, I think I've seen them 5 times, 4 times in concert.
I haven't seen them even once.
Oh my God. Didn't realize I was that gay or that kind of gay. Here we go.
But them being Tegan and Sarah, who, like we said earlier, wrote a memoir about their lives called High School. And then they ended up developing that into a TV series, which came out recently on Freevee, and as the name suggests, it's free to watch. It's like some sort of Amazon subsidiary. You have to watch commercials, but it's, you know, if you need a pee, like, it's kind of nice. and you know, you can also, like, go on TikTok. I don't know. Which, actually, speaking of TikTok, the twins who play Tegan and Sarah, yes, they kept the same names. they found them on TikTok. And what? Like, yeah, they just found them on TikTok. Like, I don't think they had ever really acted, at least not anything serious, but they found these twins on TikTok who I think must have played guitar or something. They, like, must have had them audition or something, but they're so identical. I thought they were one person and they did the Lindsay Lohan Parent Trap thing, but they are two separate twins that look identical, like every strand on their head, like
Tegan
exactly
and Sarah.
The same. I think Tegan and Sarah look so different. I think, like, they're very easy to tell them apart.
Yeah, the jawlines for me.
Like,
that's how I tell them apart.
To me, I think, like, they're so different, but what do I know? But yeah, so basically, if what you think of traditionally as, like, an indie film, you know, the things that are it's, like, a little bit low lit, very slow moving with really cool soundtracks. They brought that to television because this is basically an indie film, at least in my eyes. It could have been a film, and they turned it instead into a TV show. Yeah, I mean, you can obviously watch it one episode at a time, but it all blends together really well in that because of, I mean, I think what its true nature was like a film. But, like, speaking of music, that's kind of a whole character in the movie, which shouldn't be unexpected, right? Because this is about two musicians. But without the music, without the soundtrack, without, like, all the musical elements really that are in this show, I think it, like, it's not even half of what it was. Like, it makes up the entire vibe. It places you in 90s Canada. Oof. Like it's a character. It's everything. The music in this is, like, very, very crucial. So, like, where they lack, like, words, it's made up with music. Where they lack in, like, a lot of expressions or, like, you know, settings or whatever fucking special effects. Like, they don't need any of that because they have music.
Hell so, yeah.
And I don't mean that in a cheesy way. I just mean, like, that's how good it is.
No,
so, yeah. Like I said, though, it's based in Canada because I guess Tegan and Sarah are Canadian. I didn't know that.
yeah.
yeah, so Tegan and Sarah, these characters, these children, at the beginning of the series, they've kind of had, like, a falling out. And because it seems to me anyways that one of them fell in love and kind of started neglecting the other one. And they have, you know, at this point, they're, like, not in a good way. And one of them beats the shit out of the other one, or kind of just, maybe just gives them, like, a little tap in the eye.
A little black eye.
But, you know, at this point, they've stopped hanging out, they stopped communicating, and it's leading them into finding their identities separate from each other. So I think that's why they started the show the way they did, and not showing them, you know, as kids being, like, side by side, probably 24/7. You know how twins are. Mm-hmm. But even though they're, like, going through these different things, or, like, gone off in their own directions, they also have something in common, which is that they're both very, very gay. Which I don't think that they've told anyone. No. Not even each other.
I mean, but look at them.
I mean, it's obvious to us, but it's also, like, the 90s when everybody wears flannel, not just them, you know? So
that's true. And then, like, yeah. I don't know. They're queer-coded to the queers only, I guess.
Right.
As per usual.
So nobody knows that they're gay except for, obviously, Sarah's secret girlfriend who, you know, now they're going through something because she changed schools. You know how that's, like, the end of the world when you're in high school? Also, we have this incredibly hot mom played by Kobe Smulders.
Yes.
Who is from How I Met Your Mother. Love her to death. And who she's going through a bunch of her own angsty shit. Like, I love that they included that in the storyline. They weren't just being, like, selfish and including their own shit. They're like, our mom is cool as fuck. Everybody thinks she's hot. And also, she has a lot of shit going on. Like, a lot of fucking shit going on.
That's kind of my favorite thing in the show, is that, like, it's a running thing that she's a hot mom. And it's like, Kobe's mother's just being herself because she's hot, and now the characters get to acknowledge that. Thank you, God.
Yeah, and she, like, really plays it off well too, with, like, she does a lot of, like, deep voice acting and, like, seriousness. Yeah, so, like, it's just this, like, heavy but also, like, chill but also dramatic take on high school life. Which we don't see very much anymore, like, especially, like I said, this is a very indie type of film vibe that it's giving, but when it comes to teenage and high school content these days, we have Euphoria, we have Heartbreak High, we have a lot of comedy and dramedy, but this show is more drama and more indie and music and grunge and 90s. Like, it does something, like, that's really, really different from what I've seen from high school content in a really long time, and I appreciated that so much. Like, a part of me is a little bit sick of, like, everything having to be funny raunchy, even though I love Sex Lives of College Girls, but that's college, so I
that's college count. At least.
Right. So, and I love Euphoria. It's fucking hilarious.
Oh god, Euphoria.
But
I roll.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, they really, like, fully immerse themselves into the 90s. Like, they even use, like, house phones. I really love that, because everybody thinks, like, oh, if you write in the 90s or 80s or whatever, those time periods, you don't have to incorporate cell phone usage that way that you do now. But, like, no, we were still on the phone. We were just all holding each other up on the landline.
Hell yeah.
Like, pissing each other off and
three-way calls. Like, let's go.
Star 69 when caller ID came around. Yeah. Passing notes in class. Like, yep. We would do that like crazy. We weren't even in high school in the 90s. We were in high school in the 2000s, and we still did that because,
pass,
like,
notes. It's more private.
It used to cost money to send each text.
10 cents a text, y'all. And
it adds up.
You had to do T9 or T7 on your phone. I did.
And it was,
I
like, 160 character, like, limits and shit like that. Otherwise, it would send, like, three different text messages. If it
Although, honestly, texting was so much easier. You didn't have to look at the screen. You just counted how many times you, like...
I don't have to look at the screen now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know where this keyboard is.
No. I misspell things even when I'm looking at it, so it's bad. Anyways.
Yeah, it brought me back a little bit, even though, like I said, we were, like, 10 years later in high school. they did a lot of the shit that I did that I remember doing, or even like when I was in elementary school and middle school and stuff. So it was nostalgic for those of us that are hitting our 30s hard.
Oof.
So also back in the day, you know how now we wait in the Ticketmaster queue to not get any good tickets? They used to go wait in lines in person. Oof, so they have horrible. Those storylines and like how big of a fucking deal it was to like do all these little things, like go to a concert. Like now you just like beg your parents to fucking hop on city presale or whatever.
Okay, Beyonce.
I'm still bitter about that. But yeah, anyways, the twins, they kind of sort of end up like growing back together and like
through music. It's so beautiful.
Through music. They fall into music because while their like love lives are respectively like getting more complicated, because Tegan is also now like juggling a few different, you know, of those funny relationships between girls that are weirdly homoerotic. Yeah, like yeah, she's got a few of those.
Those friendships are gay.
So much. And like she's juggling through the bitches too, just one after the other, like. But yeah, they end up like playing guitar together and it comes really naturally to them, and they start making music and like bonding and almost kind of like expressing feelings to each other. Like it's, that sounds weird, but you know, as siblings are like not gonna be like I love you bro, they're gonna be like writing songs to each other about how one didn't go to school that day.
Oh yeah, so. A real song, by the way, I was told.
Oh, interesting.
Something like that. Very similar to their what they were writing.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. but it kind of like, I mean, I'm just looking back or thinking back to it now, explains their kind of like lo-fi sort of sound. I really like their sound where it's not acoustic, but it gives acoustic vibes.
Oh, The Con. Yeah, that was a great album.
Yeah. So we kind of only got the intro. There's a lot of like unresolved things left at the end of the series, which is great because it was just a little bit too much like a film. Like it could have wrapped up all in a nice little neat bow together, but it didn't. And it also like didn't shy away from talking about some of the complicated things about dating a girl even back in the 90s, right? Because like even though it's Canada, like they still also had issues and homophobic parents and shit like to deal with. So
yeah, I like how they actually talked about that with the father, with the stepfather character. That was interesting.
I was thinking like how like the complicated conversation that they have with Sarah's girlfriend, on and off girlfriend,
the mom.
Yeah. Ooh. But you know, Kobe Smulders being like the badass mom that we expected her to be, she was all like, you know, it's okay. Like, I kissed a girl in college once or whatever.
Yeah. And they're like, mom, please stop.
Like, please stop. And like, yeah, even when you are whatever, like you have parents who aren't assholes, you still aren't necessarily willing to give up that conversation or like that information. Like, I get that.
They're at that age, you know, where they, yeah, they can't be understood, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, but shut up. But I thought it was great. It was so much better than I expected because we both avoided watching it for a really long time. Yes, we thought it was going to suck. And it was solid. And I think it really probably, for me anyways, spoke to like the 90s kid in me or whatever. Like, hate to use that phrase.
The 90s kid.
But like, it kind of did,
it
you
did,
know?
It did. We were
a lot of music that I grew up with too, because back in the day we didn't cycle through music so quickly. It lasted several years, so it was great. I loved watching it.
I love music, and I love Tegan and Sarah, so of course I was obsessed. And I like that we got to learn about like Canada. Like, I don't know, I like that both of these like shows are like taking place in like different places. Like, I don't know anything about Calgary other than it's like the Texas of Canada. And that makes a lot of sense when you watch High School.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, very it's just cold. So. It's cold, but there's still cowboy hats and denim everywhere. Okay, understood.
And trucks.
And, you know, like you said, hearing that 90s grunge music, stuff that I kind of got into while I was in high school. So it was cool. And, like, I didn't exactly dress like that, but... I thought it was interesting, and I thought it was cool because they were, like, already kind of gay in high school and same. And I thought that was interesting to see, like, they're gonna go through their own journey, but I think it's really interesting that they're showing what it means to be, like, gay and closeted in the 90s versus our experience. The music, oh my god, it wouldn't have been the same without the music. You're super right about it being its own character. I hope season two, I don't know, it's very happens. Gray.
I hope it happens. First of all, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, didn't Clea DuVall have something to do with high school?
Clea DuVall? Did she maybe help produce or something?
I feel like she helped produce. She does, I feel like all the lesbians in media low-key know each other.
She did that one film recently. Oh, yeah, she is involved. Mm-hmm. She sure is. She's one of the creators.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because I was like, I thought Clea DuVall has something to do with me, like either producing or directing or something. But yeah, like all the lesbians know each other. I'm a big fan of their music. I've seen them like 4 times. So like watching, I didn't read the book. Our producer Glow did read it, and again on her recommendation,
it was on the same vibe.
Yeah, she said it's like basically the same thing. Glow gave me the synopsis of the book, and then we watched it together, and I was like, yeah, this is what you told me. I don't know. I don't know where they're going to take it. Season two, Glow says it's like only like half the book, so they have the other half to go.
I mean, yeah, they have a whole career to go.
Yeah, they have an entire career. Let's see how the rest of their high school years go. I don't know. It was very gray and gloomy. It could have used a little bit more lightness. I did feel like it was kind of heavy and like heavier than I thought it would be. You know, like I wasn't expecting all that from them or for this show. I do understand like what they're talking about is kind of like hard, but like it was a lot more gray and, you know, desolate than I thought. There is some humor in there. It's very dry, sarcastic humor, which I also enjoy. But, you know, I feel like someone needs to put on, like, something red or a bright color. Please, someone wear a bright color in season two. Because, like, there's a lot of heaviness in this series, surprisingly. I thought it would be in a different direction. But, you know, still really good show. Please go watch it on Freevee on Amazon. It's free.
Yeah, give it a go. I almost, like, honestly don't want to give it any cafecitos. I think it's great.
It is.
Just in completeness, it's not a show that blew me out of the fucking waters or anything like that, but I think it served the purpose that it aimed for. Yes. And I think it did it really well, and the musical elements were incredible. It being like a biographical sort of indie show and doing something unique for once, all of that really impressed me. And even though it didn't fall in like my top list or anything, and I have like hardly talked about it, just looking back at it, I'm like, this is a great piece of work, and if it continues, it could be a whole collection and then collectively be an incredible thing that like goes down for the ages. So I hope more people watch it. I know it hasn't been watched by a lot of people. I don't think people even know what the fuck Freevee is, but
I think that's the issue. Yeah, I think it's because it's on Freevee that it's kind of inaccessible, even though it's free. It's still like right. Another login and like another thing you have to keep up with. It's kind of annoying in that aspect. But besides that, like, I don't know. I really liked it. I probably wouldn't give it a perfect score. I'd probably give it a little bit lower from Heartbreak High, just because I found it was pretty like sad for me. It's kind of dark. And I was like,
it is. It's heavier. And I guess heavier. I'm into that kind of thing.
Yeah, like, no, it was really good. It blew me away too, but I'm just kind of like, oh man, queer stories always have to be heavy. I get it. We're all like collectively going through trauma because of society. Like, it's so fucked up. but no, even with that, I still give it probably the same rating as Heartbreak High. I enjoyed both of them the same. 4.7 pan dulces. It's not perfect, but it's pretty close, and I'm really rooting for both of these series, and I really enjoyed how well fucking made it was. I was shocked. And the budget for both of these things was wow. So season two on Freevee, please go watch it. Like, I don't know what y'all are doing. Like, watch more gay things. Be better.
Give it a go. Give it a watch. Give it a try. And if you guys want to get ahead of us, our plan, I'm just going to tell them what our plan is.
Yeah, throw it out.
But we want to cover La Flor Más Bella, which is on Netflix and has been not talked about very much, as well as Contra Las Cuerdas, I think that's how it's called.
En Contra las Cuerdas, right? Yeah.
Contra las Cuerdas, which is like a Mexican wrestling show, and it's really funny and really good. Also on Netflix, and they're both like in Spanish and funny and quirky and lovable. So yeah, give them a watch.
And like, you know, femme-led, like, and also giving us that diversity and the actual conversations that we are always talking about here on this podcast and the things we always want and expect from media. There seem to be like something going on in Mexican media lately, on Netflix at least, and it's and HBO Max too, where they're giving us exactly what we're asking for. So please go watch.
Did you see Las Bravas is coming back?
It is. Officially. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's officially coming back. They greenlit it. I saw it on Instagram recently, but I'm so excited about that. I've been like talking to soccer people about that show recently. So.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah, spread the word.
Watch it. Watch the first season and watch everything else that we told you to watch.
Yes.
And we'll talk to you guys in a couple weeks.
Bye.
Bye.